Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another live event here at WP Studio, live from our Midwest broadcast studio. Today, we are looking at building a design palette, or as some people refer to it, as a style guide on a WordPress website. Now, a little over 2 years ago, we did a design palette style guide webinar, but we focused on the classic editor. And there were a number of things that, because WordPress now has the block editor, the Gutenberg editor, we may have all right, looks like we're back. It has been recording. I have no idea what literally just happened. Zoom, it looks like I was completely connected the whole time. Zoom decided to reset itself. So we'll go from here. I'm not sure exactly what will happen with the recording. I may have to re-record this. And let me also just pop in here and make sure, yeah, everything is set. All right. So as I was saying, we have a style guide, just in case you guys missed it because of the muted mic. The style guide is there to protect your brand element or your client's brand element. And we are going to take a look, because at Spotify, they have a really good style guide. Now, theirs is a lot more professional than what we are going to be producing, but they have some things that we need to understand what it's there for. For example, if we jump down to our logo, using our logo, we actually see a section that says, you know what, make sure you use the logo in the proper way. They actually go through, don't do this, don't change the logo color, do not rotate our logo, do not apply gradients, or don't try and make it better looking, or don't try and remove the trademark, or remove the icon, or don't change the typeface. Don't try and confuse people. Why? Because we give you everything you need. And we also tell you there's a minimum size that it can be, and you must always use a certain pixel size when you are displaying this. You also need to know if you're using the icon, here are the four different types of icons. Don't use one that is not one of these. And it even gives you the full download of the logo. So looking at this, and basically rather than being punitive about its misuse, Spotify Style Guide basically says, please share our brand, please use it, but use it properly. So by giving everybody all the different icons, all the different logos, it makes it super easy so somebody doesn't have to, quote, reproduce the logo, or they might get it wrong, or cut and paste and that type of stuff. So another one that is a style guide is Urban Outfitters. Now they do a style guide in a completely different era, because Urban Outfitters is, you know, the clothing brand. And what they do is basically they have a book. This book is demonstrating what their style is, and it's also what their brand is, who there is. Basically, there's a brand statement. Their icon, their pages that they've designed sets the mood for the style and brand. And in the same way where Spotify sets up the parameters for how to share a logo, Urban Outfitters, let me jump over, they've got an actual logo area here. This is what they do for their logo. Let me put it full screen. Oh, let's not do full screen. We'll do larger view. You'll notice how they give instructions. They give several examples of what the logo would be. The words urban and outfitter or outfitters must always stay on the same line. Frames surrounding text box will be no longer than 6 points. So they go through and they build it's a magazine that says, this is what you want. This is what we want you to do. This is not what we want you to do. We do not want you to put Urban Outfitters inside a box with a background color. We do not want you to redo our images. So while this is more of a magazine that they send out, it does the same type of thing that Spotify does. It sets the requirements or the framework for logos. It sets the style components. It even goes through, like for Spotify, it sets things like, if you go down here, here are our colors. We will give you the color code, both in hexadecimal with an RGB, CMYK, everything you need for whether it's in print or online, we have our color brands. Urban Outfitters, they don't always have specific ones, but they do have, hey, here is our font face that we prefer. Here is our font size that we prefer. And here's all these items for tabs, headers, promotional links. Use this font, simple, clean, size 10, bold, never smaller than 8.5. So they go through all of these things. They even talk about how they handle photography, what their brand looks like, what it should look like. It's something that you can look through to see more about how they set their stuff. Now, you'll notice that Urban Outfitters didn't really have set image requirements or copy editing rules. There were a few, but what they've done is with this magazine, they have set the stage for, this is how we position images. This is how we create a mosaic of images. Notice how, if we go back and forth between this right page and the left page, they're setting the stage that, you know, there is some uniformity with images, that it must be on the line, not just randomly placed. And large text, header text, and the copy text is exactly the same, just different placement. Copy text is this size, and the header is this size. And we can see it's exactly the same in each location. So these type of style guides are very important when it comes to preparing and protecting the brand you are setting for not only your own sites, but your client sites. So when we do this for a WordPress site, there really are four things we're trying to do. And again, we're going to play around here in our little, we're going to make a style guide page. We want to review all the current styles, especially if you have a already built website. You need to look through there. Is there a uniform look for all your H1 tags or your header tags? Is there a brand requirement for how the logo appears? Is there a stacked logo? Is there a horizontal logo? Are there requirements for where the icon of the site goes and where it doesn't go? Do you allow a transparent background for a logo or transparent background for the site title? How do you organize images? Are you requiring every image on your site to have a border radius, or do you run them through some other filter? Do you have a requirement on images and the color palettes that you are doing? So you want to review your current style practices so that you could build a style guide. Now, the other thing a style guide does is it establishes and defines your brand's voice. Basically, like the Urban Outfitters, it's trying to tell a story, but it's trying to use the design aesthetic to tell the story in their magazine. Where the Spotify one, they have lots of design guidelines for, you know, using logos, using things. And again, theirs is a little bit more because they're really trying to get people to share. How do you link to Spotify? What do you do? How do you link to it? Do you like a song? How do you put this stuff? Can you rewrite how it the artwork? Are you allowed to extract the artwork? No. Yes. No. You can look at the fonts, which fonts to use for this. And when you're talking and writing or designing stuff for Spotify, it needs to fit their brand voice. And it establishes your style rules. They do this, Spotify does this a really good job, because not only do they give you, here's our color palette, and this is the only color palette you use. So it's either white, black, or the green, and these are what are part of their logo, but they do a little bit extra. Sure, you can do Spotify green on black or white. Yes, you can do Spotify green on an image. But you cannot do the Spotify green on a brand palette. So brand palette would be, let's say you're using the Twitter logo, the bird. You're not supposed to put the Spotify logo on top of the Twitter bird. Or they do not want Spotify green on a duotoned image. So maybe you put a hue on top of an image or something. Don't put it. They don't want that. And I know why this one is, they don't want to encourage you on that, is Spotify got sued because there was another advertising agency who had a similar design aesthetic of a duotone background image and the logos popped on top. And so Spotify did get sued for that a long time ago. And so they actually put that in their style guide, so that they can't get sued again. Don't do this type of thing. So when we are building our style guide, we need to know what our color palettes are and expressly share them. And the other aspect of building a style guide with our WordPress site is to help anybody who works on the site. Now, most of us probably build the site for clients, and then you turn the site over to a client. Some of you continue working on the site, and in which case that can sometimes be rare, because you probably don't need your own style guide because you already know what everything should be, what the color schemes, what the H1 tag should be, what the image is. You know what that should be when you are updating the site or writing additional content. But providing a style guide gives the owners of the site or the intern that comes in to write additional content or the next person who comes along to manage the site an understanding and a resource that they can use. So what we are going to do is create a resource that can be used as a reference guide for anybody who wants to do it. Plus, we will also create a reference copy paste system so that especially when you are designing complex blocks, other elements, we need a simple way for somebody to visit on the front end to be able to copy paste and then just drag and drop it into whatever it is they are going to design in the future. Now that all that has been established, there's a secondary reason why this is necessary. If you ever subcontract with virtual assistants, or you hire somebody to write content, being able to send them to the style guide or the design palette that has additional information on whether you write in American or British English, or maybe you need it all in German. And maybe there are certain, maybe all headlines have to be in English and all content needs to be in some other language. Make sure that's known. How do you format and hand in the post outline? So basically, is there a process in which the person updates the content? Maybe you do have people who write and submit, but they don't publish because it goes to an editor. Well, having the style guide, step one, step two, step three, can help you not have to repeat the thing over and over again, or include it in that email when you hire a new person to write some content. You don't have to constantly be typing that. The other one is where to source and where not to source images and how to include them. So we will type this type of stuff up in the style guide. So we would literally put things like, we accept images that you or default images or any image you find either self-created or from these four websites. We do not accept images from Getty, Google Image Search, blah, 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 all these type of things. So that it's known ahead of time, if you ever have a client, a customer or a virtual assistant or somebody else who's coming alongside to write content, the instructions are there and it's very clear for the client or for that specific client site. The other one to think about is, well, what about what types of words are you going to display in bold or italic or italicized? Maybe you literally need to say that anything that is a formal product, or maybe it's a product that the company sells, should always be bolded throughout our website. Maybe when we refer to events that the company has done, they should be italicized. That's yours. That's your decision, but put it into the style guide. Now, the other thing that helps with a style guide is it can lay out a blogging philosophy or an update philosophy or a news philosophy. Are you more concerned with publishing short blurbs for easy consumption? And so therefore you don't want someone writing more than four paragraphs? Or do you require every one of your blog posts to go over 1,000 words? And so therefore telling your virtual assistant or the person you've hired to write content to, they can't submit their thing until it's over 1,000 words. Plus, it's also information for setting rules for the language. I already mentioned American or British English, but tone is another thing. And I'm going to give you an example of this buffer gives you a overview of tone. What do they mean? Buffer's voice. And it can be simple, like let's say your company's name is Andrew's Auto Repair. Well, you could say Andrew's Auto Repair voice is relatable, genuine, inclusive, approachable, but not smarmy, clear, but not curt, informed, but not certain. Setting a tone in the style guide can help people understand how they should write. And it can also be a reminder for you, especially if you have certain types of tones for certain clients, so that if it's your responsibility to write content, every once in a while, go back and look at the style guide you built, the design palette you built for that client site, and all your instructions about how you're supposed to write are there. The other one is swearing. Some use it as a stylistic device. Great effect. But while most publications tend to stay away from adult language, make sure you have that in your style guide. Is there no profanity, or is there profanity only in quotes? So set information up like that. Also put requirements of attribution, so that if there ever is a source for something, make sure you attribute it. And the other thing is, and this is important in this day and age, you may be able to get the feel from a client when you're talking to them. You may need to ask them in the style guide or in the writing idea is, what type of gender pronouns do they want to use? Now, corporately, I would say you're pretty safe if you put in, go with a neutral they. But you may have some clients who say, you know what? I understand corporate speak is when we're talking about news or blog posts or articles to use the word they, but what if they want you to use the word she as the pronoun when you're describing a generic customer in your copy for a website? Get that information down. Put it into the page, into the style guide. All right, so now let's start looking at the style guide. And we're going to take a slight detour here, and we're going to talk about the difference between building a style guide in the classic editor and building a style guide in Gutenberg. Building a style guide in classic editor is like the webinar we did 2.5 years ago. And it's super easy to just write your content because you can flip over to the HTML. You can sit there and go, all right, here's my H1. That's what it would look like. Our H2 is going to look like this. H3 is going to look, and we can go through and do all of that for easily in the classic editor. In Gutenberg, it is not that easy. You want to know why? Okay. So let's say, let's start doing I'm going to do a heading here just so we can split this. This is going to be our typography details. All right. So if I start going, this will be our lead heading or header example. All right. So let's go ahead and turn this to an H1 tag. Does anybody know how to turn this into an H1 tag? Maybe it's over here, font size. Nope. There is no typography. I have to go into a header and add my own header. But the problem with this is when I flip over to our code editor, I'm still wrapped around this item. See, this is just a paragraph. I would have to go in and create multiple headers. Now we can do that. I'm going to jump back over here to our visual editor. So I can do all of this type of swapping this out, change this to a heading, and then I can do a header one. Okay, great. Now my header one, I can go through and we will always make sure that the header one is going to be this red color. Oh, well, now I have to highlight this whole thing and do that. Okay, so then we can type another header, but notice how it's not telling you it's a header one unless we actually go in here and do, this is our H1. We do a heading, and we do an H2. This is the subheading. Okay, so this isn't too bad. And then we go and let's do a heading H6. We're going to subheading under pictures or something like that. Now we're going to have to highlight this whole thing, change that to an H6. All right, so we have items. But this, if I simply paste it, update this, and we go look at the page. Okay, I've got my, oh, awesome. Look, it didn't even come through. Are you serious? Okay, well, it didn't overwrite it. That's where there's a problem. Because not only will you have issues with H1 not showing the color and I'll just make sure that we're not caching anything because I don't want to shortchange anything. But no, look at that. It is not even coming through. All right. So because it's not coming through, now we have issues. But the other thing I want to point out is if I were to copy and paste this, because this is what I want it to do in the future when we're starting to make images and other items, if I were to copy and paste this, I'm not really copying and pasting a full H1. Because now I've got this span inline has red color. There's a span in there. That's not what I want. I want simply just an H1 tag around here. So I would have to copy this whole thing. And then I would get a weird thing. So my problem with the way Gutenberg does is there's markup in the wrong places that doesn't allow me to just copy and paste. So like if I were a client coming in, I'm like, okay, I need a header. All right. So I know this has all the formatting already set. And then I can come over here to my new page. And then I paste this in. And I'm putting a header. It didn't even paste in properly. So that's the problem. And this is our fix. Whoops, let me leave this. This is the fix. And I'm doing this so that before we get too far down, you can understand what we're going to do with images and color palettes and other things. So what I tend to do, let me show you another way. Let's take a look at utilizing the classic editor. Because when I use the classic editor, I can say top lead header example. We're going to wrap this, run to header one, and we are going to provide a color here of that red. And let's do a subheading H2 example. We're going to wrap this, header two, and it's going to be italicized. Okay, so now I've got two examples here. Let's update this and take a look at the difference. Take a look at this page. All right, now let's look at the source code. Look, this one now is a straight H1 without, and yes, it does have the span, but now when I copy and paste this, I can go to a page. Oops. This is why I hate Gutenberg. One of the reasons. Let me turn on Classic Editor for just a moment to show you. All right, let's go to Classic Editor. Where'd it go? I thought I had disabled Gutenberg on here. Disable Gutenberg settings. Disable it everywhere. Okay, so now when I go to a page, go to visual and paste, we have our H1 tag and something is going on because it should carry with it the visual image. Even if I go to text, it's not carrying. Okay, that is so weird. So here's how we fix it. This, without the span, I would create, and let's edit this page. Oh, I don't want, let me go back to, sorry, I've got to go back to Gutenberg so we can frustrate ourselves. Great. I'm allowing that to go back on. Go back to our page. Let's go back to the style guide that we're creating. And in our style guide, now that we're back in our Gutenberg, we have our classic editor. One of the things that I would do, let's say this is what we wanted or whatever. Let me come over here. I want to show you on the front end design guide, I think. Is that, no, where's our style guide? Okay, I'm going to open this under the inspector. So see how this H1 with span style FF000 is the example? What I like to do when I'm building a style guide, under each one of the levels, I'm going to do a code. Why? Because now I can type H1, and I put a class equals whatever CSS class you're already styling. I could also do a style equals color FF0000. Lead header example, H1. So I put this in there, update this, go refresh. So now this is what the person can paste. We've given them the example. Again, that's not quite the example. We've given them the example, and then we've given them the copy paste. Does that make sense? So this is what I would end up doing as I build out the whole style guide. I will always give a simple copy and paste because they can drop it in anywhere, especially if you are working and you're just like, all right, I already have the code for, and it could be a complex code because maybe you're doing a whole design element, a feature, a bunch of images, some type of block. If you give them the code, they can just drop it in an HTML block if they're using there. And again, because it's an HTML block, you can always hit preview and they can see what it looks like. But you can make sure they are using the exact code, the exact example of what it is you want them to build with. All right. So now let's talk about, again, you would want to basically create an H1 through an H6, any type of custom styling. It also gives a client a useful method of, well, if there is a H4 is going to have an underline and it'll be all uppercase. So it'll allow you to display everything. Now, most of the time, you are not going to need to do any styling in here because all you're going to have is The H1 is already styled in your CSS. The H2 is already styled in your CSS. You just need to put out examples. Another big example you need to do is the color palette. Now, if you struggle with color palettes like me, using websites like Color Hunt, and there are lots of different websites out there like this, can help you build your color palette. And one of the nice things about this is it gives you an example of how this color palette works. When I hover over this and I click on that color, not only will I get a copyable hexadecimal number, I also get the RGB. And then I can see a few other ones. But if this is going to be my color palette, or let's go to a popular one right now. If this was going to be my color palette for the website, I would want to put this type of thing either on my design palette, or I would like to put it, just my own images. Now, look at this. If I link here, you can actually see, let me just paste the link here. The color palette will always take you directly to this location. If you download the image, sometimes that's also a helpful look, because now in our style guide, when we're creating a thing, I can come in here and say, I'm going to do an image, upload the image, grab the style guide. And now we have our image. Now, that's not helpful. It is helpful to see. But what we would need to do is turn around and provide this color palette in a visual copy and paste item. So one of the ways that I've found to do this very easily is take each one of these items, and then you can do things like, and again, grab a two column and see if we can even move it, or we may break the site. Okay, I was able to put our image in this one. Sure, let's go ahead and center the image. And then in this one, we're going to do an HTML block. Again, HTML block, or I'm going to do a code block, so it's not going to interfere, and I can always have the clients copy paste from this point. Pop color. Just put it right in there. Second color. And you can go back and forth, build your color palette, make it simple. And again, you could spend hours designing this type of thing, or you could make it super simple of copying and pasting the things that you need. Third color. And color. And I'll tell you why it's easier to do something like this. Because if you have this, where now client comes over here, don't you love Gutenberg? Can't even do columns. But now it's super easy, just simply copy and paste out of here, rather then going to the website, clicking on an inspector, going and finding the item that you are wanting to get the exact color from, find it in here or find it in the inspector. It's just so much easier if you build out your color palette of where you want it to go. So as you've seen, great question. Cheryl, adding a color palette to the block editor can be done several ways. One of the ways is if you are using, let me jump back here. If you're using VocePress, your life is so much easier to begin with, because I can come in here to our customizer. Click on our typography and color. Let's do this. What do I want to do? Yeah, color palette. So I just go through and I put my colors in here. So, boom. Let's put our color palette in here. That's copied. Oops. Click. Grab that first one, second one. Then go through the whole thing, place them in here. Interesting. It doesn't like me to highlight the whole thing that way. All right. So once we've got that, I can also click this, and enabling this passes all these into the Gutenberg editor. Now I can also go into, if I'm using the Gutenberg editor, so that's the easiest way of doing that. I can also go in and have a secondary, I think I need that one. Just trying to see if I want to set up another one. Okay, we won't set up another one right now, but I'm going to go back over here. Then when we are on Gutenberg, so if we go back to our page for our style guide, edit this, we can come over to, where's my, I don't want to, Gutentor setting also has the same type of thing, but I'm trying to figure out where it was in the actual. Yeah, not really able to set it directly inside Gutenberg. There are other plugins that would allow you to set up that one doesn't even have it. So they used to have a way to handle that type of thing, but you have to use other plugins like Gutentor. See how Gutentor gives you this color palette? But we've also already passed these palettes in. So this is our global color palette. So that's why I did that Gutentor webinar a long time ago. Because if you force yourself to do the Gutenberg block editor, there's enough features that Gutentor adds to it that make it usable. So you can go through and set those things. But so setting up a color palette is going to make your life so much easier rather than jumping into the source code of a website and then copying and pasting and putting the stuff down. So I would go through this and do an example of a picture. So if I come in here and say there's an image, grab an image from the media library. If this is the image I'm going to be using when we set this, well, I need to come in here and hold on, go back to Gutenberg into the block. Let's say our things are always going to be images, and let me put it at 400 pixels or whatever. Again, normally what you're going to do is style this in your CSS, but put it all here, and then you could. Right after this, let me get off of this block. Down here. Then I would do an HTML or code. I would always choose code if I'm wanting something not to be interpreted or translated so that I can do all images. should be 400 pixels wide. Should be no more. There should be a 15 pixel. That's more like a 40 pixel. Rounded corner. So you set the whole item up. And if it's in this text, in the code, it processes to the point where it can be copy and pasted. Things are easier to process and not just, if anybody does copy and paste something, it doesn't get processed by the browser having extra code. And I would go through the whole thing. So all of your images, all of your heading, all of your colors, all your typography. Then you go through and talk about the voice you're using. Then you go through and talk about the publishing process. So this is something that you've got to find your own way through. As part of the replay, I will have finished, I'm still working on it, the full example of everything you would use on a WordPress website, using all the stuff we've talked about it, but we will have gotten the whole item put together using the code blocks so you can copy and paste. It'll look a lot better. And it will be as a WordPress import export, because that was basically my goal. So you could just import a page, and that'll all be all it is. It's a single page. Install that, and it will give you the ability to upload, and then you can edit. So that is the goal of this webinar. And it's also something that if you're constantly looking for every quarter in the year, is there a way for me to cycle back to clients, and can I offer them a service to either keep them as a client, include it as part of their ongoing maintenance, or as an upgrade to a higher level of an ongoing maintenance? Because that honestly is a great idea. If you have four things you do over the course of the year, once a quarter, it can be an upgrade to your regular maintenance mode where you're simply just backing up and updating and just keeping the site running, maybe it's hosting. But if you have a higher level, you can make a little bit more money. And if all it is giving them a style guide that they can now pass on to other people so they can share logos like Spotify does. And there are other ways of upgrading your ongoing maintenance or your ongoing packages for your clients. So I hope this has been helpful. I really think setting the tone, how you write, it's going to make your life easier, whether it's checking back in on a website so you remember the decisions you made, or it might enable you to hire people to write content for you because you've already set the rules and they can just abide by those rules. And the big thing to remember is if you're going to do it inside Gutenberg, you have to take the extra steps of using that code block, using that HTML block. You can't really use the traditional Gutenberg blocks. The same goes true if you're using a page builder. You can do the same thing with a page builder, but use generic blocks or elements because you don't want the extra stuff copied and pasted because some of it won't copy over. Like for that example, when we simply tried to copy the Gutenberg, the block editor color red, it didn't translate over when we copy and pasted it. So we've got to solve that, fix that by giving people an actual thing to copy. Not just, oh, I can design a page. That's great. And it's visually appealing, but make your style guide usable, not just visual. All right, everybody, take care. I will get this replay uploaded for you all, and that will include my example of the page design guide, and that'll be part of the replay. Take care, and I will talk to you all later.